On today's episode of Conversations with a Calvinist, we're going to be answering a listener question about Hindu energies. Stay tuned. You won't want to miss this one. Welcome back to Conversations with a Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I am a Calvinist. And I'm joined today by the beautiful Mrs. Foskey, my wife. And I do want to mention, as we are on the program together again today, that the number one rated podcast that I have ever done in the history of the show was with you.
Yes.
Yeah. We did a history of the life of Martin Luther's wife. We did that a year ago, and it has by far exceeded all of the other podcasts. So thank you again for being on the program, and maybe today we can make it two for two. Okay, and also wanted to mention the shirt I have on. Speaking of Martin Luther, this was a gift from the Stevens family, Mike and Rosanna, and I'm very thankful. I'm a wearable meme now, and I've been wearing this shirt, and everywhere I go, I get looks about this shirt. I love it. It says, "Your door is fine, I'm just fixing your theology," and it's got a picture there of Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. Well, today we're going to be talking about something interesting, and the reason why I've invited Jennifer to join us is because we're going to be talking about the subject of Hindu energies, which was a question that came on through a listener that said that they were wondering about how Christians look at things like that. And I want to talk about it specifically, and the reason why I brought Jennifer on is we both have a little bit of history with this. We both have, in our past, a time where we dealt with this and had some friends who were really heavily into it. And I want to tell a story, and maybe Jennifer can chime in at some times and kind of share her portion of the story, because when we met, we were how old?
17.
17 years old. And for the listeners' benefit, what was one of the first things I did when we met?
You pulled a young man. And you said, "Watch, I'm going to knock him out. I want you to see this."
And okay. And now, for those who think I'm crazy, she's exactly right. For those who think she's exaggerating, she's not. That's exactly what happened, because I had gotten involved with a martial art that taught how to use, quote-unquote, energy to knock people out. And at 17 years old, I wasn't a Christian. I was not a believer in Jesus Christ at that point, even though I may have said I was. I didn't get saved until I was 19. And as a young man, I was very intrigued by the idea of being able to use what was considered to be somewhat of a higher level martial arts skill, the ability to be able to just touch someone or to just tap someone and that person go to sleep. And there was a time when I, you know, could do that, and it, because I mean, I hit the guy and he fell over, right? It was kind of an interesting thing. And what we were told was that we were using chi, that what we were doing when we were doing these things was that we were channeling the chi in our bodies. And if you don't know what chi is believed by those in the in the Eastern religions, chi is seen as the life force or the energy that causes all things to go. It's the life force that is in all things. There's just chi in everything, and you are basically a living embodiment of chi. And as far as how this relates to Hinduism, because the question was specifically about Hinduism, in Hindu it's called prana. But it's still the same idea. In fact, I'll read here. It says, according to legend, Tai Chi practice concentrates on balancing yin and yang. And if you've ever seen that symbol that looks like a circle with a black portion and a white portion with two little dots, that's a yin and yang symbol. And it says that Tai Chi practice concentrates on balancing yin and yang form of energy in the body. This life energy, which is often called chi or prana in Hindu, is believed to have miraculous effects on one's body. Balancing this energy will result in a peaceful and healthy body. Well, like I said, for the martial arts that I was practicing saw it the other way. Chi was used as a destructive thing. You could use it to attack and hurt people, and was really seen as sort of like the highest level that you could achieve in the martial arts, to just be able to touch someone or hit someone. And I remember being taught all these things about it. I remember being taught that, one, I was taught very, very early on was that this was scientific. In fact, you remember there were pictures that they would bring to the martial arts group of studies that they had done, like supposedly done in universities and stuff. And there were martial artists who were tapping people and hitting people, and they were hooked up to EKG machines. And another thing they did was something called Curlian photography. I think I'm saying that right. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
The Curlian photography was where they were supposed to be taking pictures of energy auras. And again, if just for full disclosure, this was something that I thought was just real. I thought it was scientific. I thought it was something that was it was just normal. You know.
Can I say something?
Yeah, please.
I remember going along with that with the auras. I remember, and again, we weren't Christians at this time yet, but I remember someone coming up to me and pulling me up to work with me, and I remember him doing this, like, I can see your aura, and I can see, and I just remember thinking, this is really strange.
Yeah, yeah, and so all of these things, so the person who's asking, I can honestly say, this is an area that we have experienced, not just read about, not just seen on movies or in books, but this is something that we have experienced, and even after I became a Christian, I always thought that it was okay because, I thought it was scientific. The body runs off of energy just like a vehicle runs off of gasoline that produces, you know, a fire, which produces combustion, which produces energy. I kind of thought the body must run on some form of energy, and the way that we are to understand the body is simply this energetic thing. And again, even in my younger years as a Christian, I didn't really see the disconnect there. And there were those in the movement who tried to connect the Christian faith with this Eastern philosophy. I remember specifically a man talking about the story of Jesus and the woman who came to touch his garment.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, if you read that story, I remember him saying this, if you read that story, it says power went out from him. And I remember him saying that was his chi. That was Jesus's chi. And so there was an attempt by some to blend the beliefs of the Christian faith with these energies. And again, I looked at it as there was some conflict there, but I thought, you know, this is, you know, I'm learning and I'm growing in my faith. And by that time I was probably in seminary and I was beginning to see some things that were really strange. But the thing that, again, I knew Christians who went to acupuncturists, still do. I know Christians. And by the way, if you go to an acupuncturist is basing his work on these same things. The belief is that your body has channels of energy that run through it. And each of these channels of energy, it's called a meridian. And you remember this?
Yeah.
Remember we talked about this? Because we would learn how to channel these meridian energies into strikes and to knock people out and to or to knock people down or to take away their strength and all of these things. But like, for instance, the channel of energy of the lung meridian, because I had to learn all these things. As a young man, I learned all the energy channels of the body, and supposedly the lung meridian starts right around here, and it goes down the arm, and it goes across here, and it goes down to the thumb. And I remember that, because, yes,
go ahead. You remember one time, I remember going to the mall and seeing a display of mannequins, and I remember, and I forgot what it was, like maybe the person was selling hats, and I said, how much for the mannequin? Because you wanted to map out
I wanted to draw all the nerve, the pressure points. And again, what we were told was if you took a nerve chart from Western medicine and a pressure point chart from Eastern medicine and you laid them on top of each other, they'd be basically the same. I never did that. I don't know if that is in any way accurate, but that was the claim. And again, the claim was it was scientific. And by scientific, that it would meet the requirements of Western science. But I remember the day when everything changed. And I don't remember if you were there, but I know I was there. And you may have been there because this was we were married at the time. and you started doing martial arts. Jennifer is a brown belt in karate, and I of course am a black belt. And so, so you were with me for a long time. We did this for a long time together. But I remember the day one of the head instructors, nationally recognized, internationally recognized instructor, pulled somebody up out of the audience. He stood back from him a few inches, and he just raised his hands, and the man fell over. Yeah. And at that point, we all knew, and I knew instinctively, this is not the same thing. Because where we had thought we were hitting nerves, where we had thought we were striking into, you know, portions of the body that were that were places that were naturally weak, whether it be muscular, skeletal, or nerve, that we were hitting weak spots, this wasn't hitting anything. This was the idea that by simply willing his energy into the other person, or channeling his energy into the other person, he was able to knock the person out.
Yeah.
And then stories began to become very wild. I heard about people who were affecting energies through people over great distances, over many miles. Some had talked about doing it over the phone. Some had talked about doing it with sound, making certain noises that caused people's energy to go up or go down. And again, this whole idea of seeing energy. People talked about, you know, once they tapped into their chi, they were able to see energy and have that energy affected, or they were able to move people's energy with their eyes. And there's videos online. You can go on and see, you know, look up the term no-touch knockout, and you will see people that are doing these things that truly believe that they are affecting the energy of another person through their ability to manipulate that energy. And I want to say right now, you know, there are many people that are still a part of this that I love. I'm not a part of this group anymore. I've been out of this for a long time. And the reason for this podcast is not to say anything negative about them as people. I think they're great people. But the question that I was asked is the question of, is this compatible with biblical Christianity? Is the idea of Hindu energy or Chinese or, you know, Japanese views of chi, or in the Japanese it's ki, so it's a little bit different way of saying it, but it's the same idea, is are these things compatible with biblical Christianity? And that's really what we want to address. But the reason why I told the story and the reason why I had Jennifer come on, because, I mean, you've experienced this, right? I mean, you've experienced, you've seen it, you've seen the people do it. You had the guy who told you he could see your aura. And we've seen people do, I remember a man who was doing this sort of brush movement off of a person, and he was doing this, and he said, you know, what I really need is I need a bucket of salt, because I shouldn't be throwing this negative energy into the air. Remember, he said, I should be sending it into salt, so at least the salt can absorb the energy. So firm belief that this energy is not only exists, but that it is, that it's capable of being manipulated like this. And again, you know, these people are very, very firm in their beliefs. And again, I was a part of this for a long time, so I'm not sitting here trying to condemn them. I'm answering the question of, is this compatible with biblical Christianity? And again, there's a bigger step to this. Because the bigger step is the step, well, if it's not, does that mean that Christians should not be doing things like acupuncture? And that's a big question, because again, or yoga. Yeah, yoga. I know John MacArthur took a lot of grief because he came out a few years ago and discussed that his opposition to Christians doing yoga, because yoga has built within it poses that are intended to be religious in nature. And so really what I want to address is the issue of the religious side of this. Because remember what I said, I was told early on that this was scientific, and for a long time I believed that it was, and you know, I was a young man, I believed what I was being taught was true to the science. And so there are those who, when they go to an acupuncturist or when they go to do yoga or whatever, they believe that they are engaging in something that simply has physical benefits. You know, do you know Diamond Dallas Page? Remember him?
No.
Okay. All right. You were not a wrestling fan in the 80s, probably. Well, Diamond Dallas Page was a wrestler, and he injured himself. I mean, people talk about wrestling being fake. Wrestling is not fake in the sense that those guys really take hits. And, you know, a steel chair is still a steel chair when it hits you across the back. And so Diamond Dallas Page was tremendously injured, and so he went through a process of sort of self-healing, and he used yoga. Well, now he sells a program called DDP Yoga.
Okay.
Now you're remembering, right? And DDP Yoga was his version of yoga, which helped him to regain his strength, helped him to regain his posture because he was bent over all the pain that he was in. And there's a man, one of the great success stories of DDP Yoga was a man who couldn't even walk. He was on, he had the braces on his arms with the crutches, and he couldn't even barely walk, and now he can do handstands and stuff because he was able to, you know, overcome the physical limitations he had with the yoga. So is there a physical benefit, you know, to some of those exercises? Absolutely. I know guys who do Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, who do a jiu-jitsu form, a BJJ yoga, I think is what they call it. So there's a lot of questions about, you know, is it scientific? Is it real? Is it something that can really benefit or really help? And I think all those are legitimate questions that we can ask and that we can talk about. But where it becomes an issue is when we begin to move into the side of the religious side. The big issue we have to consider is, where does this fall in when we think about the first and the second commandments?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first commandment is that we have no other gods before the Lord. And the second commandment is that we do not create an idol. And the difference between those two is often confusing, because people say, well, isn't that the same thing? No. The first thing is that we are to have only one God and not have any other gods. So you can't have God and Baal. You can't have God and Allah. You can't have God and Buddha, if somebody thinks of Buddha as a god, which I know Buddhists don't see Buddha as, they see him as a divine figure. So you can't have that. You can only have one God. According to the God who exists, he says he is a jealous God, and they're not allowed to have any other gods, right? And the second thing, the second commandment, is you are not to make any idols. Now, the difference between the first and second commandment is, the second commandment is saying that you're not allowed to call anything God. Like if I took your cup, you know, with your pumpkin spice latte, which my wife is so excited that it's fall, y'all. This is her time of year,
yes.
And this is her, I can smell it, her pumpkin spice latte. If I said this latte is the God who sent his son to die on the cross,
yeah.
Now we would all think that's ridiculous, but that's exactly what happened in the wilderness when the Israelites took all of their gold. Moses had been up on the mountain. They thought, you know, well, he must have died or he's gone or something. So we're gonna take all the gold out of our ears and we're gonna melt it down and make this golden calf. And what did they say when the golden calf was created? They said, "This is the God who led you out of Egypt."
Yeah.
And so that's the difference. Is the first commandment is you can't have more than one God. There's no polytheism. There's no henotheism. There's only biblical monotheism. There's only one God. And the second commandment is you can't call anything else that God except for the God who is. And as John Calvin said, the human mind is a factory of idols. We create idols all the time. And so when we think about religions that promote chi, and again, karate sort of notwithstanding, because there are people who treat karate like a religion. Would you agree?
Yeah.
That we met some people that
would... I think we experienced some of that.
Yeah, that we met people who this was basically the way that they found their peace. This was the way they found their strength. This was what they hoped in.
I mean, and that's something I think we need to all remember, that everyone, even if they don't worship the God of the Bible, we're all religious people. They're going to find something to worship.
Yeah, we are, as the we are Homo sapien, the wise being, we're also Homo religiosus, the religious being. Every person worships something. Even the atheist tends to worship something, typically themselves or their knowledge or their understanding, something like that. And so, yes, a person, karate certainly can become a religion. In that way, it's bad. It's not good. But I'm speaking today. I want to really address those who the religion focuses on this energy. And what we find is in those religions, the religions themselves are contrary to Christianity. Yeah. That's the part that I think we need to note is, because if somebody asked me, do you believe that chi is real today in the way that you did when you were 17? I would say no. I don't believe the same things I believed when I was younger. And that was an evolving process. It became sort of, I shed those things as I became, as I began to understand more things and as I began to go through the process of sanctification and learning scripture. I would say today I don't believe in chi like I did at one point. But I also say this, there are religions that depend on that. And part of the reason is because those religions have an unbiblical worldview. They are religions that are based on concepts of dualism. And dualism is the idea that there is a positive force in the world and there's a negative force. There is a yang, which is the positive, and yin, which is the negative. And that the goal is not really the overcoming of one or the other. You don't want to have necessarily all positive or all negative. It's the idea of balance. And again, going back to the yin-yang symbol, it's the idea of that symbol is the idea that one doesn't overcome the other. But that there is a balance in it. And then there's a little bit of the white in the black, and there's a little bit of black in the white, because nothing is wholly positive, nothing is wholly negative. You understand? So the idea is very much religious in nature, because that is not the worldview that the Bible presents.
Right.
The Bible does not present a worldview that is compatible with the Eastern view of how life began, and neither how life will end. And this is a huge problem, because the belief, especially among like Buddhists, is that the idea of life and the goal of life is not to please God who created us, and it's not to be with God after death, but the goal of Hindu religion, or excuse me, of Buddhist religion is something called nirvana. Now, nirvana was a band in the 90s, but that's not what we're talking about. The idea of nirvana is a perfect state of nothingness. And the goal of Buddhism is to shed those things that are that we are holding on to and to basically hold on to nothing, to reach a point where you can be satisfied in the nothing. To be satisfied in nothingness, to be satisfied in this, to be one with the universe, to be one with the void, to be one with nothing, and again, that is not the biblical model. And here's where the issue of chi comes into that. All of the religions that teach chi and teach the energies are based on that model. They're based on that yin-yang, positive-negative energy flow model. And so what we have is we have a religion based upon a unbiblical worldview. And I really believe that worldview is where all this ends, is what is your worldview? Is your worldview that God created you in His image to glorify Him, and you glorify Him through obedience and through loving Him and loving your neighbor? That's the biblical worldview, you know. And then, of course, that we are sinners and that God sent His Son into the world to save sinners. And He died on the cross as a substitute for sinners. And when He died on the cross, God credited our sin to Him, and the Bible says He absorbed our sin on the cross, and that His righteousness became ours. We call that double imputation. Our sin is imputed to Him, His righteousness is imputed to us. This is the biblical worldview. And the Bible says one day God is going to judge this world in righteousness. Mm-hmm. We're not going into the nothing. We're not going into the void. We are going to face God one day. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this is not nothing. After this is judgment." Yes.
And also, something else too, is you can't take a little bit of this and then say, well, it's okay, I still have my Christian worldview, I can just take a piece of it that I like. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed, transforming your mind.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, there is no karma. There is no
vibes
and all of that stuff is just, it's not biblical.
And that's a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. The idea of karma is very much tied to the idea of balance and the idea of this whole energy system. That, you know, if you put out good energy, good things are going to come to you. If you put out good vibes, which is just silly. What is a vibe? It's energy, right? If I put out good vibes are going to come back to me. That is not the biblical worldview. Now, somebody may say, now, wait a minute. The Bible says, you know, that we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, mm-hmm. and that we are going to reap what we sow. And mm-hmm. essentially, karma is just reaping what you sow. But that is not the same thing. Reaping what you sow is what we call the reality of consequence. If I go out and I spend all of my money on frivolous things and my children don't eat, that's not karma. That is reaping what I sow. That's I did something foolish and I'm dealing with that foolish thing. The book of Proverbs is all about that. It's all about the distinction between the wise and the foolish. And so getting back to the you know, we see karma, we see, you know, like you said, vibes and things like getting back to the chi, getting back to these energies. It really is dealing with a religion that's not based on a biblical worldview. And as a Christian, as a pastor, as a father and a husband, you know, I still do karate. And I want to be clear about that because somebody may ask the question, well, wait a minute, are you being hypocritical? No, I no longer practice the stuff with the chi. We don't even talk about that anymore. I teach Shotokan karate, which is Japanese karate. Somebody may say, well, that's still tied to it somewhat historically. But there's no point where I'm talking about hidden energy or secret chi or anything like that in my classroom. But again, this is an important distinction that's made. In the same way that some Christians believe that they can do yoga and some Christians believe that they can do acupuncture and some Christians believe that they can practice those types of martial arts. My biggest concern is how that addresses your faith. How that addresses your faith, because
in the idea in yoga, the namaste, what is that, like emptying your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's just not biblical. These are not.
We should be thinking, you know, that's our mind on scripture. We should be to just completely empty ourselves. That's not.
And we see, like, there's new apps that have come out that are focused on the idea of meditation, and you understand what they're all based on Eastern philosophy. All of these apps and things that are trying to help you be a better businessman or be a better wife, be a better husband, whatever, through meditation. A lot of these are using, they're not using biblical meditation. You know, the Bible uses words like meditation. But when the Bible says to meditate, it's talking about focusing on God. It's talking about focusing on God's word. It says in the first Psalm, it says that the delight of the righteous is that he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates all day, not on nothing. He's not the goal. And again, it comes back to your pursuit. If a person came to my church and they were all about talking about energy and talking about chi and things like that, my immediate address to them would be, why is this your focus? This is not really part of the biblical worldview. Now, again, some people might look at the Bible and see, well, this could be an exercise of chi, or this, like I said about the guy earlier, pointing to what Jesus did and saying this is chi. But again, it is not it fails in so many areas when we look at the biblical worldview. When we look at the biblical worldview, we see ourselves as being created by a personal God who is in control of this world. He is in charge. This world is not controlled by two random, but it's not controlled by two competing energy forces. We do not live in a dualistic universe. We live in a monotheistic universe.
The devil is not equal to...
That's right. The whole idea of the devil being God's equal, that is foolish and wrong. The Bible never presents God and the devil as equals. Just read the book of Job.
Yeah.
If Job could not be touched by Satan, was it not for God's approval? God, one of the things people don't like to hear, the devil is on a leash and God is holding the leash. There is no thing in this universe that's outside of God's control, even the devil.
Job is not getting bad karma.
That's right. Job's not experiencing bad karma. So, again, if you are a person who is listening to this program and something that I have said has offended you and you have a question and you want to send in a question, feel free. I'd be happy to engage with you. My intent today is not to offend or certainly not to diminish other people or make anyone, to destroy anyone or anything like that. But I was asked a question specifically about how I view Hindu energies, which I see, as we saw earlier, it's the same as chi, it's prana, chi, ki, whatever you call it. It's all related to an Eastern view of the world, an Eastern view of what some call Eastern mysticism, but it's an Eastern view of how the world was created and where the world is going and how the world continues to function. And it's a dualistic worldview. It is not a biblical worldview. And so those who are heavily influenced by this will inevitably find themselves in conflict with the Word of God. So my encouragement would be to strive to have a biblical worldview. And if you're caught up in these things, to strive to learn what the Bible says about who you are, about how the world came to be, and about what's going to happen when you leave this earth.
And exercising, is great. Karate, martial arts, those things are great, but you can go down them.
Be careful where these things lead. Be careful what you're being taught. Always, always, always compare everything to what the Bible says. The Bible is the only infallible rule for faith and practice. Jennifer, thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, listener, for being with us. And I appreciate you listening to Conversations with a Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I've been your Calvinist. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Conversations with a Calvinist. If you enjoyed the program, please take a moment to subscribe. And if you have a question you would like us to discuss on a future program, please email us at calvinistpodcast@gmail.com. As you go about your day, remember this: Jesus Christ came to save sinners. All who come to Him in repentance and faith will find Him to be a perfect Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. May God be with you.